John chapter 1. We've been in this all month. We're going to read again these wonderful verses. John chapter 1 says this: in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." And then verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you are the Word. And we pray now, Father, you'll come speak to us. Give us hearts and minds ready to listen, to hear. And we pray, Father, by your Holy Spirit, that you would change us. Speak to us, we pray, for your glory. Amen. When I was a wee boy, I seem to start every sermon with that. When I was a wee boy, it was nice actually to have, this is an aside, but it was nice to have Tuesdays at 10 on the screen. It made me look young. It's great. All my own hair and still the same color as it was when I was born. Gotta love it. For now. But when I was a child, I used to go to carol services, and I played in orchestras, and I, believe it or not, I sang in choirs. Hard to believe. Just from a musical point of view, one of the songs that I loved, the carols that I loved, was "Once in Royal David's City." "Stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, and Jesus Christ her little child. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall, with the poor and meek and lowly. Lived on earth, our Savior holy." So easy at Christmas. So easy at Christmas to miss the power of the songs that we sing. Along with those words, and I wish that I had the poetic ability, maybe even of John the Apostle, because those words that we read from John 1, those words that we read are sung in once in Royal David City. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. They are remarkable. And you know, one of the most common refrains of our culture, one of the most popular sayings that I hear, must surely be the secular view that all religions are just the same. Whether it is Judaism or Islam or Buddhism or Christianity, all the religions are just the same. They are actually, they would say, an attempt to control and manipulate people, particularly the weak. And only those who are clever are able to see through that. Religion's really just an emotional crutch for people who can't really make it through life without anything else. Yes, they say, all religions are the same. Yeah, we love Christmas. I used to have colleagues say that to me all the time. I love Christmas. It's great. It's all nice and sentimental. But it didn't change their view of religion. But these words in John 1 scream that Christianity is not like any other religion. There is no parallel anywhere in any other religion for what is stated here in John 1. All religions are not the same. That God came to earth as a man, an apparently weak man. One who wept and who cried, who laughed and who died. See, I am a poet. One who lived not with the high and mighty, but with the lowly and the lonely and the poor. I go to Haiti, and every time I go to visit people, when I walk down the street, I am struck every single time by the realization that this is where Jesus would have come. There is no God acclaimed by any other religion of the world who makes himself known like this. I've just got three things to draw out shortly this morning. Firstly, the tragedy of not recognizing Jesus. Secondly, the perfect picture of God. And finally, joy to the world. I wonder if you've ever been sitting beside one of your heroes and not known that it was them. There were four of us who grew up together. We were very close. And one of my friends, many years ago, was attending a concert in Belfast. I'm pretty sure it was a Van Morrison concert, who's also from Belfast, if you didn't know that. I think he was in Belfast, and he was at the concert, and he was in the front row. He'd got special tickets. He was right in the front row of the Van Morrison concert, and sitting right beside him was a man who looked kind of vaguely familiar to him. He had a bit of a disguise on, I think, but he looked vaguely familiar to him, and he couldn't quite put his finger on it. And because of that, you know, British politeness thing, that we have going. He just smiled at him and didn't say anything to him, and they just watched the concert and so on and so forth. And after the concert, he said goodbye to the man as he got up to leave. He said goodbye, and he watched this as a stranger walked up the theater and was suddenly mobbed by people seeking his autograph. Shouts went up that the edge from U2 was in the room, right? And he had been sitting beside the Edge. I don't know if I've mentioned, but the Edge also from Ireland. U2, best band in the world, also from Ireland. But anyway, he had been sitting beside the Edge all night. It was one of his heroes. He was gutted. All the things that he could have said to the Edge, the witty lines of banter that he could have offered to him, you know, the chance to strike up a lasting friendship, travel the world, join the band, all gone. It was a sadness for my friend. It really was. I think it probably still hurts. But it's not nearly as tragic as it would be to miss the reality of Christmas. To not recognize that this baby is in fact God come down, the God who makes himself known. The Gospel of John, you know, this whole book was written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life. It is the only way to have life. All other paths lead to death. And you are faced up with the moral choice that's always been the same moral choice. Even in the Garden of Eden, it was a moral choice. That I would either rely on God and accept him as king, or I would go my own way and rely on myself. It's the same moral choice. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this man, Jesus Christ, says John, gives us the perfect picture of God. He has revealed God to us. Over the last few months, we've been looking at Exodus, the book of Exodus, and studying it together in the evening service. What was actually a revelation even to me is that it's not mainly the story of Moses or the Red Sea or even God's people. It's the story of God revealing himself to his people. But even then, even Moses could only get a glimpse of God. He could only see his back. Because to see God fully meant that you die. But now, says John, God has been revealed to us through this man, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is the meaning of life. The meaning of life is not a concept. And you're not going to find it in your career or even in your family. The meaning of life is a person. It is the God who made himself known. The God that we need, even if it's not the God that we want. Do you know, in his wonderful book on Advent, Tim Chester speaks about the characteristics of Jesus. He says, Jesus is lovely in his compassion. He looks at people, he sees them like sheep without a shepherd, and he just loves them. He longs for them to know him. Jesus is lovely in gentleness for those forgotten and battered by society. He's right there with them. He's gentle. He's kind. Let me tell you, having delivered hampers, there are people in this time, who are forgotten and battered by society. Jesus is lovely even in anger. Yes, in anger. Because he's always angry for the right reasons. Jesus is lovely in justice because he does what is right. The life of Jesus is like a living photograph of God himself. And finally, Jesus is lovely because he is the Savior. Verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Let me tell you, that is joy to the world. A message of hope and joy. A message that's for everyone. Not just for a few days a year, but for all eternity. Bishop Anselm said this, "Our sin and our fallenness imply that we cannot save ourselves. We need God. But since the fault is on the part of man, the repairing of the damage had to come from a man. It's the only way it makes sense. A life for a life was required." Do you know the sacrifice of a lamb or a sheep runs all the way through the Bible? From the very beginning, Genesis 3, Cain and Abel. Abel makes an offering that's accepted by God because it's from the animals. It's a blood sacrifice. The Israelites in Egypt were saved by the blood of a lamb at Passover. And Hebrews says, under the old promise, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sin. Good for all time. This baby that we celebrate at Christmas is the one who sacrificed himself to bring life. The one who says, "Come to me, live with me, let me make you whole. Let me fill your heart with joy." You know, Christmas is so often, for many people, I don't think I really understood this until I was a pastor. Christmas actually is often the most miserable time of the year for many people. Either because of loss or pain or isolation, loneliness. And certainly there is nothing that will steal your joy faster than a trip to the shops. But for many people, we just completely miss the joy. In Haitian voodoo, the most popular religion in the country, the belief is that God created the world and he looked at it and was so disgusted by it, he just abandoned it. And you know, if I lived in Haiti, I might be tempted to think that. That God abandoned me. But you know something? Christianity rings with the news at Christmas that our God did not abandon. He came down in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the pain. I started by reading the words of Once in Royal David City. Let me read the last verses to you, and then we're going to watch a video. And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone. Not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by, we shall see him. But in heaven, set at God's right hand on high. When like stars his children crowned, all in white shall gather round. I'm going to watch a video.
I know it's no one's fault. It's no one's fault that someone is born with a disability, but then you still feel like, but why did this happen to us?
Welcome to all of you. Please take a seat. We want to now share a nativity tweet. This story of Christmas, we tell it in rhyme. Some actors have lines. Why are some of us mime?
I was overwhelmed with grief at the loss. I thought a beautiful baby has got Down syndrome and it's such a disaster.
Meanwhile, great Caesar Augustus in Rome made a decree, return to your home. For Joseph, this ruling meant Bethlehem town. So they rode on their donkey all the way down.
God didn't give me a straightforward answer of why this happened. It just took time for me to realize God's answer wasn't so much that it was wrong with Levi as much as there was something wrong with the way I was thinking.
Mary was speechless. She didn't know how these things could have happened, but still she bowed.
I think of Mary, of all she goes through. It's not her plan, it's God's plan. She just goes with it. She's humble, she's calm. She's reassured by the fact that everything's going to be okay.
For he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all the people will call me happy. He has brought down mighty kings from the throne and lift up the lowly.
What we learned was that God was with us. God suffered with us. And he gave us the most beautiful child, and there was no reason for me to grieve or compare her or feel sorry for her. In my old view, before she taught me, I thought she would lack. She's not lacking.
So gathered around that wee baby boy, all people are welcome and know heaven's joy. From angels to donkeys, from shepherds to king, the little Lord Jesus, God's welcome he brings. He came to our darkness from heaven above. He stooped to the crib and the cross out of love. He shared in our weakness and mess, and still he embraced us nevertheless. If you're feeling rejected, excluded, a stranger, remember the one who came down to the manger.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." Amen.